We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper.
Got it! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch, and I am joined, as always, by my enthusiastic co-host Rohan Kadi, and we are here to discuss a singular topic that is very important right now, both to the Bucks long term and to Bucks Twitter. What's up with Brook Lopez? Is Brook Lopez back? Is Brook Lopez here, the new re-energized since the break? Brook Lopez here to stay? We're going to go deep on Brook Lopez. Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Can't really complain right now, even though last episode I was talking about how warm it was, and now it's cold again. Wisconsin, gotta love Wisconsin weather all the way around. It's just a dreary gray day outside right now, but other than that, can't really complain.
That's
yeah
good.
I can't really complain in general because of the Milwaukee Bucks and what we're about to talk about, and Brook Lopez, who I, if you are a listener of the new Bucks Stock Radio, you know that I am heavily invested in Brook Lopez. So this is a very good topic for us. Especially
it is. Yeah, it's great for you as the Bucks are now 4-game win streak. I couldn't remember exactly before the deadline. I know they have gone 3-0 since the deadline.
9 of their last 10.
Nine of their last 10. And I feel like it hasn't felt like a super convincing 9 of their last 10 stretch, but they have been getting the wins, which is important. A couple of easy wins in that stretch. But I mean, we were just joking off air, you know, regular season success in itself is not something we get super excited about, whether it's the Bucks or even another team around the association anymore. But specific things are what we get excited about. And the most exciting, at least from the last 3 games, 2 of them in particular, is the Brook Lopez resurgence. So I shared this on Twitter this morning, but just to further illustrate the difference we've seen in Brook Lopez on defense since the All-Star break, here's his blocks and average plus minus before or after. So he played all 36 games first half of the season. I don't know if we gave him enough props for that. Props, Brook Lopez. That's a lot of minutes for the big fella. He should probably play a lot less going forward. But 48 blocks across those 36 games, which is 1.3 block per game. And, you know, blocks per game are not all about defense. You know, Hassan Whiteside will average like 95 blocks per game and still not actually
future
be all that
Laker
good.
Hassan Whiteside.
Future
allegedly.
Laker Hassan Whiteside. It's not automatic. It doesn't automatically mean good defense, but I do think, you know, it means something. I do think there's been a crowd that has discounted box score stats almost too much. Like, it literally does mean something. I mean, it's useful to do that. And the Bucks were +4. Per game in Brook Lopez when he played before the break. Since the All-Star break, 3 games, 9 blocks across those 3 games. That's an average of 3 blocks per game, literally tripling his production from before. No, not literally tripling. That would be higher, but nearly tripling.
Almost tripling.
Almost tripling his production. And the Bucks have outscored teams by nearly 9 points per game when he's played. So that is also not tripling, but it's more than doubling. Basically, the very rough way of looking at his positive aggregate. And to even take it further, I don't think he was particularly good in the first Wizards game, but he was very good. What was the first game? Was that the Knicks?
Yes.
The Knicks game, he was very good. Did really good work on Julius Randle. And then the second Wizards game, all 9 of his blocks came in those 2 games. And across just under 58 minutes, he was a plus 38 in those games, Rohan. He dominated. He was really good. I'm a little unsettled seeing it. So what are your initial Brook Lopez thoughts at this current moment? Was I right? Were we right, I should say, when we said he's a 16-game player and to not trust this? Does he just need more rest? What is going on here?
I think the first thing you have to look at here is definitely the rest factor, because we've talked about all season about how these are very compact games in terms of scheduling. Like, we were just talking off air about how it's weird that the Bucks don't play from Wednesday till Saturday. And that's uncommon this season, even though it would have been necessarily like a commonplace in previous normal seasons. So we've seen a lot of just close games, slogs, back-to-backs, home and homes, just a lot of games in a close-knit window of time. And it's difficult on players, especially when they're getting up there in age, like Brook Lopez, who is nearly 33 years old. He turns 33 on April Fool's Day. Great birthday. But getting that week off, especially when he doesn't really have to do anything because he's not an all-star or participating in anything, it's good for these players to get rest. And that's that. Maybe all he needed was rest, like you were saying. And I don't know, maybe that's the end-all be-all, but I don't think that's the case. I think the case is he's getting a little bit more trigger happy in a good way. He's feeling himself a little bit in terms of offensive production. Like, let's take a look at his shots per game since coming out of the All-Star break, even dating back to the game against the Grizzlies right before the All-Star break where Jrue Holiday hit that game winner. He had 11 shot attempts in that game. And then Knicks game and then both Wizards games, 11, 10, 12 shot attempts. Just going back through his season logs, ever since like January or early January, he's had like 4 or 5 games of double-digit field goal attempts. And now he's had double-digit field goal attempts in every single game coming out of the break. You need to see more of an aggressive Brook Lopez in order to get, you know, production from Brook Lopez. And I know you were talking about defensively, but offensively, he sort of feeds into himself. He's a streaky player. We've seen that in the past. So just getting and feeling himself on the offensive end leads to more aggression on the defensive end, and it's just a more locked-in player.
I think that's a great point about his shots per game. It's funny because sometimes I do eye roll at the amount. It almost does feel like they're feeding him looks lately, right? Like Giannis is finding him when he drives, and Brook is like, it's one of those where you're semi-open, you're kind of even with your man. And I have seen a lot more of Brook Lopez like taking those drives to the basket and like finishing, which, you know, I don't necessarily love, but I don't hate either. I mean, he always has had great touch around the basket. It's not terrible. He takes a lot of threes. He actually, ironically, all this success he's had with regard to plus minus since the break, hasn't shot all that well. I think he's like 2 for 9 from 3 since the All-Star break. So the three-pointers aren't even necessarily falling. I'm not as worried about that, though. And I do think there is an element. 16. Well, I'm sorry, what was he?
4 of 16 from 3 in these last 3 games.
Has he taken that many, Mike? Oh, maybe it was just the 2 good ones. He's 2 of 9. So yeah, he's really pulling, right? Like, that's a lot of shots per game, a lot of threes per game. But if it does help him get, maybe it's just an overall confidence consistency thing to help him get going a little bit more. I don't know. Another good point I saw raised, I'd love to hear your thought on this, is was it kind of getting more acclimated with the new ways the Bucks are playing? And is that something where maybe Brook Lopez himself and the rest of the team is more comfortable playing more switching, you know, maybe modified drop, maybe lesser drop? And is that having an impact on how Brook Lopez looks out there?
Yeah, that might be it as well. We've talked previously about how he hasn't really found comfort in the system yet, but now we're seeing more diversified looks for him. I know Nekias Duncan on Twitter has been sort of going through film Yes, the GOAT, absolute GOAT. Shouts to Nikias as always. He was going through a little bit of Bucks film against the Wizards, and he was seeing sort of Brook Lopez being put in different situations, coming off like Bradley Beal coming off of screens, and then Brook Lopez recovering in different ways. He would hedge, he would sort of drop in a modified respect and sort of drop higher. He would curl off the screen as well. There was a lot of different things that he was doing out there against, you know, similar offensive sets. So we're just seeing more comfort in Brook Lopez because, like we talked about, he's only been asked to do drop coverage, deep drop coverage in his seasons in Milwaukee. And then the occasional just like switch everything when everything isn't working. Just like this break glass in case of emergency, do this. And we've only seen that like a handful of times throughout like the past 2 years. But now this season, we're seeing a lot of different coverages. And now it looks like Brook Lopez is finally getting acclimated to that. So I do think that is a valid reason to say why Brook Lopez is maybe a little bit more comfortable in the system, because he's playing with it more. He's definitely playing it with it more. He's getting used to it. And that could lead to his production increase.
I agree. I'm still a little hesitant. I'm going to need to see more of a sample. I mean, you know, the Knicks are good, but I think kind of with the way their spacing is, it's kind of an optimal-ish matchup for him. Alex Len will shoot a little bit, but still, you know, not the best player. I think it's hilarious that he was drafted where he was, given how average he is at pretty much everything, is what I said in the last pod. So I need to see it against more opponents. It's a bummer that Joel Embiid is out for the next couple of weeks, but namely for Milwaukee's Wednesday night game against Philly, because that's kind of been something that's been touted as, even if he's not as spry, he's still big enough to be useful on Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid has been like an all-over-the-floor cover, shooting from everywhere. It would have been a super fun matchup. I still think at the end of the day, you probably prefer Giannis on that cover, but I would have liked to see Brook get some shifts at Embiid. So I want to ask you, you know, I caught a little flack for saying Brook Lopez was maybe a good player for these Milwaukee Bucks. And to be clear, if he continues to play like this over these last, well, two of these last three games, there's no question, right? Like, he's clearly a good player. He's the guy I campaigned early last season to be Defensive Player of the Year. But do you think over the early part of the season, you know, was he a good player? Was he a good, like, not like, you know, all-star, but like a plus rotational player? All told, over this first part of the season we've seen, or was that a little bit of a hashtag take from me?
I'm trying to limit what I'm going to say.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's through the first half of the season, pseudo half of the season before the All-Star break, Brook Lopez was like literally not a net positive for this team. He was literally like a net negative for this team.
Correct.
And you could say that through the numbers. You could also say that by watching the games.
He just wasn't getting there.
He was not getting there. He looked like he had lost a step in every single regard. So it's fair to say that now he's being a good player when previously he really wasn't. So I think that's fair.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Yeah, I mean, I think just listing it out made it look worse than it was, because I think I had him 10th among Bucks. But it's like, I mean, the first three guys are going to be obvious, right? Then in some
Giannis,
order.
Chris, and Bobby Portis.
Yeah, exactly. And then Drew in there as well. You know, Dante, Bryn Forbes. I think I had DJ Augustine above him. That's probably. I didn't. I almost included Thanasis as a good player, but I was like, I think we're jumping the gun a little bit. I probably should have had Brook above DJ Augustine, who I think. Like, Brook sometimes has been good or at least passable on defense, and then sometimes is like legitimately quite good on offense. I think there's a large variance there, but like there's some games where he'll get to the rim, he'll draw free throws, and he'll hit threes. DJ Augustine, like, the defensive ceiling is so low, and so is the floor, right? Like, you're never going to get, you know, stopper DJA. Like, sometimes he's going to be legitimately useful offensively, good enough to ignore the fact that he's just so small. And I do think we've seen a turnaround there, but I would say Brook Lopez overall better than DJ Augustine. So should have been at worst 9th, not 10th. But yeah, yeah, I think right now he looks good.
To be fair, let me go back on what I said earlier a little bit. So I'm not going to say he's been a bad player for the team. I will not say that. I'm saying he's not been normal Brook Lopez that we've been used to seeing. He's not been like an actual positive on the team. Let me say that. He's sort of been a neutral. Like, he still produces, like you were saying, he's averaging over a block a game. He's had like, what is it, 5 single digit scoring games in like the last 3 months essentially. So he's still producing. Like, he's still a good player. He's still a player.
He's always been a player. Yeah, even
he'll
over...
still be like, I don't want to say good player, but he's still like a serviceable player. I will say that he had been a serviceable player. It's just there's a different level you need to hit when you're a crucial starter on a team that wants to win a championship. That's the bar. So when you're a serviceable player, that's the floor, right? That's like, you need to do that. You need to do more in order to be like, okay, this team has real potential, because he's starting for this team. It's not like he's just a role player, right?
Correct. It's a little troubling to me that even over these last three games alone, the Bucks defense has been better with Brook Lopez off the court. 100 defensive rating without him, 107 with him. But over three games, and they were blowouts.
Yes, but also I will say to that point, that does not necessarily mean that Brook Lopez is a negative impact on defense. It means that without Brook Lopez, they can go to schemes that allow for greater defensive potential. That's not like, no, I know that's what you know that. I'm explaining to everyone.
No, totally, totally.
That Brook Lopez being worth, like the team playing better on defense without Brook Lopez means that they can go to Giannis at center lineups and sort of switch everything and wreak havoc. So that's peak defense Bucks. That does not mean that Brook Lopez is playing bad defense. That means the Bucks can reach another level without Brook Lopez on the floor.
Yeah. And I think, I guess that ties into another interesting question I have for you that I've been thinking about. Do you think this resurgence, you know, does it change how you look at, you know, potential moves that would see Brook Lopez traded or a different player brought in? I still think it's probably worth investigating finding a better stretch four. I think Giannis at the five, the results are so mixed. Sometimes they really are bad on defense just because it seems like no one's used to not having that defensive anchor in the paint. But sometimes the switchy lineups look utterly dominant. So I guess two-part question, you know, is a stretch four still maybe the top need? Maybe not. Or do you still want to straight up replace Brook Lopez with a different center?
I think straight up replace is sort of a bad use of assets, because if you have, this is really the only tradable salary that Milwaukee has on their team. So if you are trading Brook Lopez, you should be upgrading a different position because it's hard to upgrade that straight center position trade, like center for center trade. Yeah. So if you're trading for Lopez, you're hopefully getting another like solid guard or wing to add to the rotation. So in that respect, just trading him to replace him is bad asset management. But if you trade him to upgrade somewhere else, you could find a replacement. But I wouldn't say trade him just to replace him.
Do you want to trade him less because of these last three games?
That's a tough question.
The real question is like how little of a sample size will cause you to change your feelings on players, which I think, I mean, personally, I think I'm a little less inclined to trade him because we've seen like there's still something in the tank that he called on. I mean, even though, you know, I talked about, you know, the matchups aren't exactly, you know, finals contending teams or whatever. He just looked better. And I don't think it's entirely dependent on who the Bucks are playing. I think he just looked a little bit springier. So I do wonder, I now feel like there's more potential there that the Bucks could get out of Brook Lopez, which I just felt like we had not seen on defense for so long that, I don't know, I'm certainly less inclined to want to like let's get off the contract so we get a better MLE at the moment.
Yeah, that was never really my rationale to begin with, but it does give me a little bit of hesitation, his recent play, because he would be a great matchup against Brooklyn.
Really? 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 Why do you think that?
Because I feel like we've seen Brook Lopez like in matchups where he's like, oh, he's going to get played off the floor, and he doesn't get played off the floor. And Brooklyn's just the next example of that. They're like, oh, we're going to go super small on offense because we have to. And we're going to see, like, we're going to make you beat us that way. Okay. I don't want to get into this rationale of Milwaukee's, you know, sort of sticking to their game plan and be like, oh, no, they have to beat us, because that's just fails to react. And we've seen that sort of implode on Milwaukee in the last two postseasons. Correct. I don't want to get to that. I don't want to vouch for that. But it does have some sort of value when you say that, oh, we can play this style and we can also match you. So what are you going to do about it? Sort of things. Because we've, like I just said, we've seen Brook Lopez not get played off the floor in matchups. So if he can hold his own in Brooklyn, like in a potential Brooklyn matchup, that's an X factor. And you need all the X factors that you can get in the playoff series, especially one that looks like it'll be close.
Hopefully it'll be close.
Hopefully.
I'm not worried about, you know, Blake Griffin or DeAndre Jordan for sure.
No.
Like I think neither of those guys is going to torch Brook Lopez. I do think the issue is like if they run pick and rolls and you're switching and then it's like Brook Lopez on KD or Brook Lopez on James Harden, that's a different story. But I think that's true for multiple players on the Bucks. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
We
just
also
to see
saw
how
that
they play.
We saw that against the Wizards, given it's the Wizards, but we saw Bradley Beal attacking Brook Lopez on defense and he reacted differently. Like I talked about earlier, they threw a bunch of different schemes at him and it seemed to work. It forced Bradley Beal to get the ball out of his hands. So I wouldn't say it's ideal. It's definitely not ideal in those matchups. If you can go to a better lineup, you should. But if Brook Lopez is capable of, like, let's say catching fire on the offensive end, you can still play him on the defensive end.
I think that's true. I think honestly all season long, he hasn't looked that bad to me, like perimeter defense, like when he gets isolated on someone, I feel like he's done okay. I don't think he's gotten torched.
I mean,
numbers
He's still a massive human being.
Yeah.
Like he's 7 foot, basically 7'1", 282 pounds. Like if you're going to just drive at him, good luck.
Well, yeah.
And especially when you have a backside help defender like Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what's nice is a lot of people try to shoot over him, but he's tall and like he has a big reach. Like it's hard to shoot over Brook Lopez. So yeah, I don't know. I think I'm almost won over that he's at least can be a positive player. I guess the final
he can be a positive. That's a good way to put it.
The final
he
question
be. He is the potential.
And I guess that kind of answers it, but like, do we buy this?
Yes, I have all the stocks.
Yeah, you literally do for your Buck Stock Radio gains and your bragging rights this week if it holds up.
Please.
I want to. I mean, for how long was I on the 16 game player thing?
You didn't get off it until like December.
At least,
well,
yeah.
I guess I shouldn't say January. December is when the season starts.
Yeah. I was going to say like late January or sometime February is when the reading materials found their way into my hand right next to a reading lamp. But Yeah, I don't know. I think they just got to be more careful with him. I think at this point, I don't think I want to see him playing 30 minutes in regular season games anymore. Like, you have Bobby Portis, you have Giannis. Yeah, I think if they could find, I guess, if Diakite as well to just like spot minutes, I think at this point, like, just don't play in 30 minutes anymore might be the best, and see what that does. It's like a science experiment, right? Like, let's change a variable and see how the results go. We've seen more rested Brook Lopez has looked a lot better. 25 minutes a night, pal, and we'll have Bobby Portis and Giannis out there and, you know, sop up 8 minutes with Diakite and see how that goes. And it feels like a win-win, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. And to be fair, he has not really been playing over 30 minutes a game.
I thought earlier in the season, I think he played. I mean, he's at 27 for the whole season. I know he's gotten there a few times.
Just, yeah, I think like 10, 15 times, something like that. Okay, but you do see the...
A third.
Maybe just... Yeah, just like less minutes overall, I think is a good way to look at it, like you were saying. So just a little less minutes, just experiment a little bit, because that's what this team's been doing. So just like, you know, just throw some lineups out there. And I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. Like, they've proven themselves at this point in the season. The Bucks coaching staff has. Oh, God, I hate saying that. but they've shown that they are willing to actually try things.
That's true. Yeah, 12 games, as you said, he's played 30 or more minutes. I just like maybe make that the ceiling. I mean, he's got 33 or more four different times this season and nearly a fifth. That's a lot. That's a lot of minutes for the big fella. Maybe we cut that back and we get more of this good Brook Lopez.
Yeah. I do not disagree with you whatsoever.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I guess that's the enduring takeaway is like, hopefully we get more of this. I think that'd be great. I would love that. I'm a big fan of good Brook Lopez.
Yeah, me too. I'm always going to, I have that video, the highlights of him in that game against the Nuggets where he hits 9 threes queued up all the time. Watch that all the time. You know exactly what game I'm talking
about. Was there a big clap in that one? Was that when he was a big clap in still?
No, that was the Raptors game one.
Oh yeah, that was playoffs. I thought he did that more than once. I could be wrong. We're both
the famous GIF is from.
That's Raptors. Yeah.
Yeah.
That game, he went nuts too, didn't he?
Yeah, he won the Bucks that game.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I got too sour too early. It's just...
That was 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. He was good in the Miami series too. I just think the fact that they were going to not him to close games and then suddenly winning games like they were going to lose, it's not a great sign. I think we might need to recalibrate just what he is and, you know, maybe go from foundational starter to... good rotation piece, and maybe now that's just the new expectation. Maybe that's important in this too. I don't know. I think I'm glad the picture with Brook Lopez has gotten more complicated though, because it looked like it was just going to be, oh my goodness, this is bad and they need to do something. Now I don't know if they need to, but I still think options are going to be key, whether it's getting more out of the guys on the roster or finding another big body or just a better stretch four to play next to Giannis.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. Just it got more complicated, which is really a good thing based on how Brook Lopez is trending. It's I love you,
thank
Brooke.
Goodness.
I love
you, yeah. Brooke. Big nothing but love for Brolo, despite some of the tweets.
Bropez, as Basketball Reference says.
Bropez is not bad either, but Brolo is that's the it. Brolo is the nickname.
It's bad. Splash Mountain's on there though.
Oh, Splash Mountain's really good. Shout out to Tea Time, Robin Lopez, who we got to see close up.
Oh, yeah. I will say, just lastly, I miss Robin Lopez in terms of content. It's just, it was incredible. Like, just you don't really miss it until it's gone sort of thing. Then you realize what you had.
I still can't believe he opted out and then got more money. Like, I'm still genuinely kind of shocked by that. But, you know, as nice as it would be to have another dependable veteran center at that price tag, just give me some Diakite minutes, because we've literally seen he wouldn't play in the playoffs anyway. So why spend $5 million on a depth that, I mean, I don't, you could argue if it's necessary or not, but if it's not going to be used, it doesn't really matter how needed it is.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, if it needs to be important depth rather than just depth to have.
Which, I guess, just to put a bow on this, kind of like the Torrey Craig thing. Like, I know there's people screaming Torrey Craig's name when I say a better stretch forward to play next to Giannis. And listen, maybe, but it doesn't seem like we're going to see it. So I'm not arguing that that's right or wrong. I don't honestly have that many strong Torrey Craig feelings, but
I'm over it.
I'm just going to keep thinking about other options because clearly it doesn't now seem like that's going to be a thing.
Yeah, I'm over it. I'm over it.
You're over it in what way? Like you just don't want to hear about it anymore?
It is what it is. He's not going to play unless it's garbage time.
Yeah.
We have to accept that.
That can be a subject for a whole nother podcast, I think.
Yes.
Someday. Okay. Maybe. But
yeah. Okay. Do we have anything else for this this episode here?
I think we're good. I think we covered Brook Lopez pretty thoroughly. Encouraging stuff lately. Hopefully it keeps up.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess we can wrap this up here and say thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe and leave a rating on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you tell all of your friends and family about the show and stay safe, everyone. And we will talk to you next time.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.